Once upon a time, in a galaxy far, far away. Wait, sorry, hold up. Wrong show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pinellas County Schools Tales from the Tech Side. I'm your host, James Wilson. Welcome to another episode of where we look at how technology is impacting K-12 education. Today, we're going to talk about technology's role in the school's climate and student behavior. I have some great guests with me today who will be introducing themselves in a minute. But as always, thank you for joining us. And so, to my guest.
Great. I'm Solomon Lari, Executive Director, School Climate and Behavior. Excited to be here to participate in this project.
Dr. Lari, can you share a little bit of your background for us?
Sure. I'm a teacher leader, a servant leader as well. Started my career many years ago in Pinellas County Schools as a teacher. I was an assistant principal at middle school as well as a high school, and I've been a principal. I served as principal for 10 years at multiple school settings. I'm familiar with high need Title I as well as turnaround schools, and I'm extremely involved with, you know, education and advocacy for education at the state level as well. So really excited for what we do and the opportunities that we have and experiences we provide for our students.
Thank you, Dr. Lari. Wants to go next, anyone?
Good morning. My name is Claire Lynch. I am an MTSS staff developer with the Climate and Behavior team, focused specifically in the transformation zone.
Thank you, Claire Lynch. Would you like to also share a little bit of your background for our listeners?
Sure. I have over 20 years of instructional classroom setting. I was a teacher at John Hopkins Middle School for almost 23 years. And the last 3 years, I've been an MTSS staff developer.
Thank you. And our last guest.
Hi, good morning. My name is Leslie Pezzo. I'm the district behavior specialist in the school climate and behavior team. I primarily focus on Area 1 for our Pinellas County School District. My background. I am from New York. I worked primarily with students with autism since I was 18, and then moved to Florida, became a behavior specialist after doing some ABA training, and moved up to the district level, and I'm very excited for what we're doing in school climate and behavior as well.
Okay, well, thank you all for joining us. I really appreciate you sitting down to talk with us. Not only for our district, but for a lot of districts, they don't really have a school climate and behavior department, and I know it's really new in our district. So can you share a little bit of what does the department do? What is it tasked to do? What is that thing that it hopes to accomplish?
Sure. The school climate and behavior is tasked with supporting schools as well as the district with specific initiatives, focusing specifically around academic engagement. We support with attendance. We support with overall initiative to improve the academic well-being for all of our students as well as for our teachers. But more importantly, the overall improvement efforts to improve the quality of education with school climate and behavior, looking at discipline, looking at attendance, because again, when you hear the term discipline, oftentimes people think, you know, referrals or behavior, but attendance is a behavior as well. And we're trying to be proactive and focus on the positive, right, to reinforce the positive versus being reactive and focusing on the negative. So just looking to build systemic processes, systems, as well as provide ongoing coaching and mentoring for our various, you know, teacher leaders as well as administrators to ensure that all of our students reach their fullest potential.
Okay, great. So as a former school teacher myself and a staff developer that worked in schools, I know one of the big things that really we talk about as teachers is one is cell phones, and you know, and so with that, the question is not only cell phones, but now as a district, we are providing devices to all of our students. So does student access to technology impact a school's climate and student behavior?
It does, and it can impact positively or negatively, depending on how you approach it. I have been at several schools and have been supporting in order for them to utilize the technology in a more positive light. And approaching your students, being able to build those relationships via technology can really build a climate and culture. And I think that that's something that we're really trying to focus on, is starting with those adults and building capacity with the adults. And this is how we can reach our students, because positive relationships are the overall fundamental focus of our school climate and behavior team, is really building those positive relationships. And we can use technology in a positive way, but I do understand that there are some struggles that our teachers are facing, you know, with utilizing technology appropriately.
I think that's key, building the relationships, but also as a district, making sure that we are empowering our teachers with the tools that are available not only to them but to the scholars as well, and making sure that they understand the benefits of allowing the use of technology. So if we provide them with the information, then they know how to deliver it to the students.
Yeah, and not only that, an additional piece that's critical is ensuring that we have our standard operating procedures as to what's permissible and what's not permissible. Because just to, you know, roll technology out without any guiding principles or direction, you know, it's a recipe for things to go kind of off the rail. But I do feel that we as a district have done a really good job with providing ongoing and continue to provide ongoing professional development. We have a host, a large menu of tools and resources that are available electronically to supplement what's taking place in the classroom. And more importantly, always keeping in mind that teacher ownership and that teacher autonomy, ensuring that we don't take that away from teachers, because we have great teachers in our school district who are extremely creative, and we want to, again, and ensure that nothing we roll out, you know, infringes upon their ability to be creative and think outside the box. So, you know, the sky's the limit. We do know that there are some schools that are using, you know, things, for example, like PBS Rewards, Dojo, and other, you know, app-based platforms to, you know, reward, incentivize things for students, also for academic, you know, residual and remediation opportunities as well are available via technology.
So, great. One thing that I want to just ask you your thoughts. So pre-pandemic, we were not a one-to-one district. And so teachers had to take their students down to labs, or they had to check out labs. And there was a really big thing, and it still is, where teachers didn't want to allow students to use their own personal devices, even for schoolwork. I know as a staff developer, I would try and encourage teachers that, hey, your students have a computer in their pocket. You know, it's okay if you, as you say, if you have those practices and you build that relationship, then you should be able to allow your students to use those devices. But then there's the battle with, as a school, right, the school climate is no cell phones. So as a teacher, you know, what do I do? You know, there's that, I want my students who have devices to do engaging lessons. We were not one-to-one at that time, but again, I don't want to violate my school's policy. I don't want to seem as though I'm not going upstream with the rest of my colleagues. So what would you say to a teacher who was facing that type of dilemma within themselves?
Sure. Pre-pandemic, I would say it's really more of a conversation piece with your administration. Again, I don't think there's any teacher or employee, for that matter, that wants to create any sort of disruption in the learning environment. However, if we have these tools available and the professional has the level of, I'm not going to say expertise, but have the level of knowledge to use them appropriately, then I would say I don't think that there's a principal in our school district that would, you know, would deny a teacher the access. So I think the communication of that is key. And clearly the teacher planning that lesson in advance is key, because you can't really simulate that in the moment. It has to be planned. It has to be, standards aligned. And it must, you know, be applicable to whatever it is, the end goal that you have for that lesson.
I definitely would agree. I mean, I experienced it myself. Had a conversation with my assistant principal. The lesson had to be planned out, and the expectations with the students were definitely conveyed to them and monitoring to make sure that they were on task. And I think that's key. You have to have expectations set And these are the relationships that you establish with them from the beginning so that you can continue to do these type of lessons and engage them with the technology that is in their pockets and at their fingertips.
Okay. So now moving from that pre-pandemic, and then we go through, we go home, we come back, and we're trying to teach kids at home and at school. So not only our district, but lots of additional districts in the U.S., you know, decided that, hey, we need to take some money and we need to get the devices and have the devices available for students. And so we rolled it out, you know, in a couple years. And then we're at the point now where we actually have a device for all of our students. Mm-hmm. However, not all of our students are checking out devices. And so we still have teachers who are sort of like, okay, I got 20 of 25 kids that have checked it out and these five kids have not, right? So they are still sort of facing that same problem, that issue. Well, do I let my students use their cell phone? You know, how do I set that expectation? What is going on? And with that, you know, we are better, but not to that point where we can use those devices for those positive things, that student engagement, you know, rigorous lessons, differentiated instruction, which research shows us is where our kids benefit the most. And so what are you guys seeing currently as it relates to school climate and behavior?
So I can speak to that. You know, I know that at the elementary level, we did have PBIS rewards. That was a fantastic tool for us to be able to use at the site that I was at, because some of our students needed a little bit of a check-in. They were able to go into that tablet and to go onto PBIS rewards and click check-in or out with a preferred adult if they're struggling. And we were able to utilize that side of it to make sure that we were keeping things calm in the classroom and being more proactive. Again, you know, this will go back to that organization piece and that integrity piece and making sure that you, even though you do have that piece of technology in front of you, it's very easy to get distracted. And so we want to make sure that, like Claire was saying, you know, that we're monitoring as much as possible, but also giving them the tools on how to stay on task when you are given a task. You know, we're constantly teaching them how to do that. And in order to stay engaged, to utilize that technology. So because we do have so many more students, especially some of our youngest kiddos that have been home and are just getting into school now, there is definitely a higher need for technology. So ensuring that we're utilizing it as much as possible, but then giving our students those tools to use it appropriately and those relationships. And additionally, we did have some calming suites that we used virtually during COVID. And that was very helpful for some of our kids that might have been struggling a little bit. So I think that as far as the learning and differentiating instruction and increasing the rigor, that really starts out with those first two weeks, setting those expectations, setting those relationships. You know, I'm going to let you utilize this device as long as we have that understanding, we have that relationship, and I'm going to respect that you're going to do your work if you're going to respect my expectations, you know, and really just understanding. It is definitely difficult to have some students who are not checking out those laptops or not bringing them home or not bringing them back to school. So kind of having a plan for that, processes and procedures are ideal for our entire school-wide system. So having a process and procedure for times when those things do occur, because they will occur. You know, everybody has a lot on their minds. Our kiddos do as well. So making sure that we have another step, another option for them if that technology isn't available that day, and then a step to make sure that it's available the next day or the day after.
And some of it rolls back to the parents' fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a definite issue. The parents were like, if they break it, I'm responsible. I have enough on my plate. In the fear, so they embedded that fear in their child. Having a plan B in place, what can you do for that child that can't check it out? They can use it in front of you, but again, it's still setting those expectations. And I think even just going back to during the COVID time, adults and children. We were all thrown into the water. It was like dive off the deep end and swim your way out. We had to learn a lot real quick, not only as an instructor, but then convey that to your students in the midst of a pandemic. So it was a lot all at once. We're coming to the other side of it, and I think that the students are very resilient. They know a lot more about technology than most adults. And just trusting that once you establish the expectations and the relationships, things will be okay. And I think that's the main thing. And that was what I, excuse me, spoke to my students about. You know, we're going to be okay. Follow my lead. We'll get to the other side.
Okay. Just for our listeners, and not everyone is in the education field or in Pinellas County schools. You guys mentioned PBIS rewards more than once. Could you just, someone just explain for our folks outside of Pinellas County schools what PBIS rewards is and how it works?
So PBIS is a program, positive behavior intervention system, and it's a way that we, it's our way of work in Pinellas County Schools, is creating that positive behavior environment. We are starting with the positive. We're starting with handing out these rewards for doing what, you know, for staying on task, for doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's, you know, a token economy in the same way that we get paid for doing our jobs. You know, it's a real life system. So PBIS Rewards is an app that is not actually tied to the PBIS system itself, but they do utilize the same strategies and approaches, so they aren't completely tied together. But the rewards app is a great tool for students to be able to go in, see how many points they have. The teacher is able to go on their phone, on their device, on their smart board, so the students can see how many points they have as well. The students themselves can check on their tablets, on their laptops, on their phones, if that's something that they're allowed to use, to see how many points they have, you know, if and what they've gotten those points for, as well as to be able to purchase items from the school store. It's kind of like an Amazon shop. It's fantastic. Again, another life skill for some of our students, and very, very rewarding for them. And it encourages them to gain those points because, oh, I definitely want to go shopping at the school store. It looks like Amazon right now. So it's a great tool as well for leaders to be able to pull data and to determine, you know, which areas we might need a little bit more support in, whether it's a tier one issue that we need to maybe increase and beef up our positive rewards for school wide, or maybe it's tier two where we have just some friends that might need a little bit extra support. And then just to be able to pull that data and to know where our supports are needed is fantastic. We are very data driven.
So each school has guidelines for success, and this ties in really well. So as the students are following the school-wide guidelines for success or expectations, they're rewarded. They're acknowledged for doing what they're supposed to do or expected to do. So a lot of times, people often focus on the ones that aren't doing what needs to be done. So you have 80-90% of your school doing what is expected, but yet they're not acknowledged for it. So this is another way to acknowledge the students that are doing what is expected.
All right. So you guys have touched on them a little bit as we've been talking, but I want to just bring it to the forefront because not everything about technology or technology's role is positive. And so there are challenges created, you know, through not only students having their own personal device, but also by us as a district now putting a device in every student's hand. So what are some of those challenges that you're seeing, and what are some possible solutions, or what are some solutions you guys have helped to put in place in addition to the PBIS rewards that definitely helps with school climate?
So there have been some issues. Like Claire mentioned, our students know a lot about technology, a lot more often than, definitely more than I do sometimes. And we have some students who are so technologically savvy that they're able to do things on laptops that are on our school laptops that they should not be allowed to do. And in instances like that, we do have different types of instruction that we can provide for them that are not on the computer. And in instances like that, we have had, I've been supporting some schools in creating a safety plan in order to ensure that we are using technology appropriately and that we are not doing, we're not going on websites that are unsafe. And that starts with taking a little bit of a break from technology and giving them paper, pencil, you know, old school. And it's still very, very, very much relevant. And giving them that little break. And then during that time that they're taking the break from technology, teaching them why it was removed, teaching them why a different way that we are going to be using technology appropriately, and why this was inappropriate, why we had to completely remove technology. You know, and this isn't, We don't ever want to remove it completely because we always have access to technology. So giving them those tools during that time we are taking a break, because adults even need to take a break, you know, taking breaks from social media, taking breaks from scrolling through your phone, you know, just making sure that we're making those safe choices. And we also have our media specialists are constantly giving our school counselors as well, those tools on how to utilize the internet safely. We start that in the elementary level, and what's safe and what's not safe, and when to, who the trusted adults are, and when to approach those trusted adults if there are things that are not safe. And basically just that integrity piece is huge for our older scholars, and giving them a reason with those relationships to show that integrity, to show that you're going to do the right thing with the technology.
Well, any other challenges you guys are seeing, or?
I would say there are phishing websites and malware that's out there. That's always a challenge. But I do feel that our TIS Technology Information Systems Department does a great job with updating our firmware and things of that nature. We also have the ability to monitor if we have students who are not using technology as it's designed or as it was, you know, explained to use it. We have the ability to pull the profile and use that as a coaching opportunity to, you know, retrain and reteach, you know, those expectations for those students who didn't get them the first time. So having that flexibility, to Ms. Pezzo's point, the relationship between the adult and the child, and the adult establishing the expectation and proper use of that device, whether it's an actual tablet or if the students are using cell phones or other personal device that they bring into our organization. Just making sure that we're transparent and we're very clear on what's expected.
So I think I know what your answer is going to be to the next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So can school leaders utilize technology to transform the climate and behavior on their campus?
Certainly. Absolutely.
Yes. Certainly.
Definitely.
Yes.
So what are some of those ways they can?
We already started it in Pinellas County with our QR code for PCS Praise. I think that was a great tool to add technology in. You can just scan it and send in kudos and praise to any school personnel that you see doing a great job. And that's been such a highlight of this job, to be able to, this role, to be able to go to these different schools and pick out a teacher each time and pick out a staff member each time and say, I'm going to put in a PCS Praise for you. And I think using that was a great way to really shift our mindset from being stressed and overwhelmed to really focusing on that positive. And that's something that we're really trying to do as a district, is really completely shift that mindset. Not that we weren't positive initially, but just really focused on that positivity for our adults and for our staff members as well.
I think it was great just because of the way education has been for the last several years. It seems very thankless. So this was, I think, definitely a mind shift in giving some acknowledgement for all the hard work. You know, I see you. You never know who's watching, so it's always do the right thing even when no one's looking. But this is another way to show that, hey, someone saw what you were doing. And sometimes that's a pick-me-up that you might just need in that moment.
Yeah. Also, the use of technology is a, you know, as a former principal and longtime administrator in Pinellas County, is it makes it very convenient and easy to share data. You know, you can create teams, you can create, you know, SharePoint sites and things of that nature in which you house data and pertinent information in a centralized location. So rather than pulling out a handbook and thumbing through, 200 pages, just really housing that somewhere electronically so your staff has the ability to gain access through their cell phones if they so choose to, or devices that have been assigned to them by Pinellas County Schools, really helps with the overall efficiency if you're using it and you're updating and communicating the data, the purpose of the data, and how we're going to use that data to improve our decision or our practices at the various sites. Really, really, really help galvanize us and speed ahead launching and implementation of various practices at the school level as well as the district level.
Okay, so use the technology. So school leaders can use the technology to support morale for their staff, and then ideally that would trickle down to those staff supporting and being more supportive of their students.
Yes.
So how, as a school leader, can I go directly to my student population using technology? Or can I?
You can certainly use the same surveys that, right now our team is working with a school and we're sending out a staff survey. And that's through Microsoft Forms. The same type of survey can be sent to students. You can put visuals in there. It can read to you. There are so many different ways to survey students. Kahoot is a huge, it's Kahoot, and then there's a couple other great tools that they use. I know a lot of our elementary schools will do science quizzes and things in the cafeteria, but then at the same time, you can do a PBIS survey and see what your students are going to want to work for, and see what makes them excited to go to school here, what's making you happy here, really just surveying those students and trying to understand what it is that they want to work for, what it is that they may be struggling with as a school-wide, and getting that information to be able to change the climate as necessary.
They could do even a on-site summit, almost like what Superintendent Hendrick did, where it literally was like surveying your population. What do my stakeholders need and want from me? So, I have been speaking to some of my school leaders as far as creating those same team leaderships through, the students, almost like a mini student council, but having those representatives on campus. It doesn't need to be just the, A students. Some of our struggling students also need to be a part, because why they could express to you why they're struggling and what would turn it around for them. So having a diverse student group that the leaders meet with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an additional piece as well is, you think about lessons that may be created in Nearpod, the self-paced lessons, that's an additional opportunity, not only for teachers, but also for our students and support staff, in addition to our parents, to attain additional information. You learn more about school-wide processes, procedures, or just for general information sharing, So the sky's really the limit as it pertains to the depth that you can go as it pertains to reaching your stakeholder groups. But more importantly, the continuity as it pertains to the rollout of this, it's really critical. And then clearly stating what the expectations are and what's expected as it pertains to the proper use versus the non-proper or acceptable use is key.
Great. Well, again, I want to thank you guys. And hopefully for my listeners, you got what I got out of this conversation, which is that the majority of our students are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the purpose of your department is to find ways to engage and get those other students, that smaller population, on board, engaged in participating in their own education. And so establishing a school culture climate where we all exist, no matter how diverse it is, and we're all working towards the same goal. So again, thank you very much. For our listeners out there, as always, remember to like, subscribe, and share. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.